Homecoming unites the past and the present. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, for many of us, returning home is a joy-filled experience. It's a time when we can gain a new appreciation for our past and reconcile it to our present. However, some become heartsick upon discovering they really can't go home again. Or as Jesus knew all too well, sometimes a prophet is without honor in his hometown. With more on the homecoming of Jesus, here is Kenneth Wong with part one of the Year of the Lord's Favor.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be with you. We are going to be talking about the Year of the Lord's Favor in this program and the next. This seems to be a really suitable theme for the beginning of a new year. When I was doing this program, we were actually at the start of the Lunar New Year. But whatever animal that the year may be named after, mystical or otherwise, and men may predict to be good or otherwise, the best year that the Christian can know is the year of the Lord's favor. And it applies to any year and any time of the year. At the time of this actual broadcast, it may be the start of the new financial year for some. For others, a new academic year could begin any time in the middle of the calendar year. We've just finished the Easter week, which really is a little milestone for us because it represents the first of the second half of our broadcast year. How time has flown by. And we're truly grateful to God for all His provision and His sustenance, and also for all your support in prayers and practical fellowship for this ministry. Indeed, this has been the year of the Lord's favor in many respects. And I trust it can be the same for you too. We're going to go first into Luke's gospel account, where he uniquely records this incident about Jesus' homecoming ministry back in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. And that's where we come across this phrase, the year of the Lord's favor, which he quoted in his Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah. Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. This was the commencement of Jesus' public ministry. After his baptism in the waters of Jordan, as well as after his 40 days and nights of temptation in the Judean wilderness, he embarked on what is sometimes referred to as his Galilean ministry, which lasted for around 1.5 years in the northern districts of Galilee around his hometown where he had grown up in Nazareth. And there came a day soon when he returned to his hometown Nazareth. And we read about this in the account from verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The context here is very interesting. It is about Jesus' homecoming after the commencement of his public ministry. And the hometown is not the easiest of places for ministry because you are faced with those who are fond and familiar with you, who know much more about you than if you were simply an itinerant minister, where you would mainly be regarded simply as a pulpit persona. I can attest to that because I often find it a greater challenge to preach to the congregation of your own home church. And I find that I usually have to spend a great deal more effort and time in preparation for the messages. So we find that in the matter of trying to reach those who are close and familiar to us with the gospel has its own peculiar problems as well as possibilities. The problems arise from the fact that, as we normally say, familiarity breeds contempt. Because you are so familiar with them, they think that they have heard it all and they know exactly what you're going to say. And the message gets immediately and unconsciously screened off or shut off. Which is the reason, I suppose, why the Lord Jesus said later on in verse 24 of the same chapter in Luke 4, then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. There's no problem with the message or the presentation of the message. The problem lies more in familiarity serving as a blockage to receptivity of the message. But that is only one side of the issue. The positive side is the distinct and peculiar possibilities extended to those who are close to you, because you are privy to the close circle of people amongst whom God has placed you, so that you are the most well-placed and positioned to detect all their peculiar needs. And if you don't minister the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ in that situation, in a way that no one else can do, it might never ever be done. So if you don't do it, it will simply be left undone. So with that great possibility comes great responsibility as well. So here we see Jesus in his homecoming back to his hometown, back in the synagogue that he had grown up in on the Sabbath day. Week after week, he had faithfully attended the services in that synagogue as he was growing up. This was the place where he had participated in prayers, in worship, and in listening to the repeated readings from the Law and the Prophets and the exposition that had been given. And now he was back here again, at the beginning of his public ministry, and he was invited by the synagogue ruler to give the reading from the prophets for that day. And before him were many familiar faces. Remember that Jesus had his own family background. The people asked at the end of verse 22, "Is this not Joseph's son?" His earthly father, Joseph, could well have died by that time. But he had his mother, Mary, and he had his brothers and sisters. In fact, if you read the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13, the last couple of verses, 55 and 56, you will find that four of his brothers were named there, and they were James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And also he had sisters. And no doubt Jesus, in his growing up years, was a bright and living witness, both in his family as well as the town of Nazareth. What would you say for an opportunity for a homecoming message like this? We read on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 17. "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." In those days, before the age of the printed press and the printed page, the scriptures were only available in handwritten scrolls, which were obviously very precious, because it took something like a scribe's full-time work over a year to painfully transcribe and copy every word and verse of scripture from the master copy to the new copy. So I just want to say this, that we are indeed tremendously privileged to be able to have the whole counsel and word of God in our hands, in the printed pages between the covers of a book that we can readily bring around and open and read at any time, and even in more handy forms in modern digital devices. So we should not take that for granted. We should be deeply appreciative of that fact, that it's a privilege to have such ready access to the written word of God. So it's a good habit to try to follow the reading or the exposition of the word of God with your own personal Bible, so that we can locate where that word comes from when we have to look it up or when we have to share it with another. Because this is just what is written at the end of verse 17, where we have read concerning Jesus, that when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So friend, are you able to find the place where a particular scripture is quoted from, where it is written in the whole of the Bible? In order to do that, you need to be familiar and at home with the scriptures. And the only way to do that is to be constantly reading it, referring to it, and studying it diligently. So if you can imagine for a moment the attendant in the synagogue having to draw this huge scroll from the shelves of the cabinets in which they were stored in the synagogue. And here is the one for the book of Isaiah, just like the Dead Sea Scrolls, in which one of the major discoveries was the entire scroll of Isaiah in intact form, more or less. And the scroll was opened and read from right to left in Hebrew, as it is in Chinese. Whether or not this was the scheduled reading for that particular Sabbath day, or whether Jesus himself chose that portion to read, it makes no difference. It's the word of God for that day. Just as it makes no difference whether I'm given a scheduled or prescribed theme or topic or verse to speak on for a Sunday, or if it is left open for me to choose as God would lead me. It's still the Word of God for that day, if it is preached in the power and reality of the Spirit of God. And this is what Jesus read. And he was reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Can I just pause here for a moment and make a remark? This last phrase, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, is not included in some of the newer translations based on newer manuscripts. But if you go back to the original place in Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, from which it is quoted, you will find that it is there, as it is in the New King James Version from which I'm reading from. Now to continue in verse 18, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. This last phrase, recovery of sight to the blind, is not included in Isaiah 61, but can simply be treated together with proclaiming liberty to the captives, as I will do later on when we get to Isaiah 61. Now let me finish reading that verse. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now his audience, as well as we, might expect him to continue reading, because this was just the middle of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2. But instead the Lord just stopped there, and we read on in verse 20, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. That's not a usual thing to do, but sometimes there is reason for doing that. If that is where you want to stop and draw their attention to something critical that is referred to there, without distracting or diluting their attention with what is to come afterward. Now the Lord Jesus was not just done with his reading and therefore he sat down. It was their custom to stand when they were doing the reading from the scriptures as a sign of reverence. And in some churches where I have spoken in, that's their practice. It was also expected of the person who is doing the reading to give a little exposition or instruction after that. And they would proceed to sit down to do that. So they stood up to do the reading, but they sat down to do the teaching, which is not something we are familiar with in our custom and practice today. In fact, we find it recorded very often that Jesus taught his listeners while sitting down. Reading on in verse 21, and Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? I'm sure that was not all that Jesus said. It said that he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So that was his opening statement. And opening statements in any message are all important. And I often spend a lot of time thinking very carefully through how it is I'm going to open that message. Because if people do not see the big point of what you're trying to say in your first moments or your first words, then you will have lost your audience. And it's always very difficult to reclaim that afterwards. So that was his opening statement, and I'm sure he went on for a little while to elaborate on that. And this is the reason why he stopped midway in that verse and not completed, as we shall see when we go back to look for that verse from which he quoted in Isaiah 61. He's saying, I'm going to stop here because this is the fulfillment of all that it is saying. And this is the theme of my homecoming message. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor in most of the newer translations. And I'm sure they all understood that what was in view was exactly what Isaiah the prophet had in view when he wrote this some 700 over years ago. And that's the year of the Jubilee, the 50th year. And you'll read about the details of all that God had instituted as one of the laws under the Old Covenant in Leviticus chapter 25. The Jubilee year is a year of jubilation, and it stood above all else as the year for release. It's the year for restoration. All the debts are forgiven, The lands that were occupied and taken over by others were returned to the original rightful owners, and if you're a slave, you're set free. It's the year of release and restoration. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to wait for that every 50 years. It's here and now. This is the year of the Lord's favor. And favor here does not mean earned favor. When we ask a favor of someone, you would expect that favor to be returned, or that person who has been the recipient of that favor would normally be obliged to return that favor. But the year of the Lord's favor means the year of the Lord's grace. And this is unmerited favor. It's unearned favor. It's favor that you can never repay. And that's what the year of Jubilee signified. It is God's arrangement to ensure that the vicious cycle of poverty and slavery is broken, that the rich don't get richer and the poor don't get poorer, and human exploitation is prevented amongst the people of God. But here comes the Lord Jesus in his homecoming ministry back in his hometown synagogue on that day, proclaiming that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And I trust that this scripture will too likewise find some practical fulfillment in your lives today. This can be regarded as Jesus' ministry manifesto or his mission statement, which if you like, you can make your own too, as far as sharing the good news of the gospel with others is concerned. It is a statement of the personal fulfillment of the messianic prophecy in Isaiah 61, which he quoted in part, but which, as he declared, was fulfilled before them that day. What he's really saying is that, look, I'm no longer coming here as the son of Joseph, as the Jesus you knew as a boy growing up in this village or town. I'm now come as the Son of God, as the Messiah, which you have all the time been reading about from the Law and the Prophets. No doubt the Law and the Prophets came through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that is what I have come to bring, grace and truth, and to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor or the Lord's grace. In other words, I am the Messiah. The Messiah is simply the Anointed One in the Old Testament Hebrew, or in the New Testament Greek, it's the Christ. It means the same thing, the Anointed One. The Messiah that you have been reading again and again, Sabbath after Sabbath, from the prophets which have prophesied about him, is no longer in the future, it's in the present. I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the Anointed One. With the first coming of Jesus from heaven to earth, the age of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit, and the age of the church was inaugurated. And this is what the year of the Lord's favor refers to. And that is why for the believer, every year is a part of this year of the Lord's favor. Last year is the year of the Lord's favor. This year is the year of the Lord's favor and the year to come, because we are still living in the age of grace, because the Messiah, Christ, has come. I want you to notice two words in the verses that we have read that were quoted from Isaiah 61. The first is the word anointed, and the second is the word sent. We have read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and then he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, every believer needs to know and to appropriate this to his own life too, to know that you are anointed of the Spirit and that you are sent of God. And these refer to the vertical and the horizontal dimensions of the gospel. First, every believer has the anointing of the indwelling Spirit. The Holy Spirit is every believer's birthright. That's the only way you became a Christian, and that is to be born from above by the Holy Spirit. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says that the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. That's a clear reference to the glorious fact of the indwelling Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit, and he shall remain in you. It's this glorious truth of the indwelling Spirit in the believer's life that enables him to share the gospel in such a way that it can be a real answer and solution to the problem of indwelling sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't come down to us from time to time anymore as the outpoured Spirit, as in the Old Testament times. Although, in God's grace and mercy, he does grant seasons of revival and refreshing as a special move of God in a certain place and at a certain time. But far more wonderful than the outpouring of the Spirit is the glorious indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is the believer's birthright, and it remains with him. It doesn't go away, because that is how it happens that God is not only for us, he's not only with us, but he is in us through the Holy Spirit. But then there is the horizontal dimension, and the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can only be shared with others through us. It's a wonderful thing to be saved from sin and Satan and the world and ourselves, but we need also to realize the other aspect of being saved. We are also saved for something. We are saved from sin, but we are also saved for Him. Salvation is not a static thing. Things don't come to a stop or stand still or get frozen from the time we are saved or are filled by the Holy Spirit till the time we get to heaven. Having been saved, we are also sent in order to save. And we can only share the gospel effectively in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like we have read in verse 14 of Luke 4 that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to start his Galilean ministry. And that's all we have time for today, but it's good enough to know that you are living in the year of the Lord's favor and that you have been anointed and sent by the Holy Spirit to share that good news. Anointing is a symbol of authority. In the old days, it applies to kings, prophets, and priests with the use of oil as the anointing medium. And Jesus is described as prophet, priest, as well as king. And he was anointed not so much with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized in water at Jordan, and the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God came in fullness in the form of a dove upon him and remained on him. And likewise, if we have been born again from above, we are endowed with the power of the Spirit for mission. We are anointed and we are sent. And may you be refreshed by the Lord's gracious presence and be reached by His gracious word.
Indeed, reaching those close and familiar to us can be a real challenge. But who knows? You may be the best placed person to reach them. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth returns with part two of The Year of the Lord's Favor. You know, we always enjoy hearing from our listeners, and for just taking the time to share your comments on the program, we'd like to give you a gift. You will recall we had a guest speaker named Gary Weeks, and Gary is a singer-songwriter and has graciously made his CD called Eternity available to us for free distribution to our Times of Refreshing listeners. So you can get your free Gary Weeks CD simply by contacting us via SMS. The number is 9431-3813. Or you can send us an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. Just give us your name and your address, and we'll get the CD to you as a thank you from us. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again next time for Times of Refreshing.